listening to Coffee Talk with Father Brad.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Got my homily, hold on. Had a great day, a long day. We had the catechists in Baton Rouge. Went to Baton Rouge for a retreat, and we had mass there and learned a lot. And so it's been a great day. But that's why I'm a little tired, so that's why I forgot my homily. Okay, everyone is clearly supposed to be invited into the church. Everyone's supposed to be invited into the church. We see that in the readings today. First reading, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, but since you reject it and condemn yourselves as unworthy of eternal life, and he's talking, this is the apostles from Acts talking to the Hebrews, or the Jews. "We now turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth.'" Everyone is invited to the church. And that was a big thing in the beginning of the church. Are we preaching this to everybody? Is it? Who's supposed to be a Christian? Who's supposed to get evangelized? And the early church is clear. Everybody. Here's the psalm. And this is even in the Old Testament too. "Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands." So everybody, every land, serve the Lord with gladness. And this is my favorite from the weekend, from the book of Revelation. I love the book of Revelation. A lot of people are scared of the book of Revelation, also known as the Apocalypse. Ooh, even scarier. You know what apocalypse means? It means just revelation. That's what it means. But it means unveiling. Unveiling. So like the unveiling of the bride, the apocalypse of heaven. John sees heaven unveiled. God lifts the veil from his eyes. He's like, "Whoa, I see heaven." And this is what he sees. "I, John, had a vision of a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands." This is heaven. God showed John heaven, and guess what it looked like? Everybody. Everybody. Every nation, every language, every race, everybody. That's what heaven is. Now, everyone is invited, but sometimes, in our experience, only some are welcome. You get what I'm saying, right? Have you ever had a wedding and you're writing out the invitations and you're like, "Gotta invite that uncle. You gotta invite him. You gotta put the invitation in the mail," but like secretly you're like, "Hope that guy doesn't come," you know? Like sometimes everyone's invited, but sometimes in our experience, not everyone's welcome, at least subconsciously maybe, or practically, the way we act, how we choose to live our faith individually and as churches, sometimes we know everyone's invited. It's 2019. But is everybody welcome? You know, Paul VI, there's an encyclical called Evangelii Nuntiandi. It's his encyclical on evangelization. And he had something very interesting to say, and I think it's important for us. "The gospel, and therefore evangelization, are certainly not identical with culture, and they are independent in regard to all cultures." What does this mean? It means that The church, the gospel, evangelization, the message is not limited to one culture. And as soon as we make it one culture, then we leave out everyone else. We make it hard to evangelize. What's awesome about the message of Jesus Christ is that it's for everybody and it fills every culture. We can bring the message, right? The early church brought it to Greece. And they were like, hey, we're gonna go preach the gospel in Greece. And it's going to work because it wasn't identified with just their Jewish culture. And then when it hit Rome, and then it spread all these other places, and then we took it to Asia, and then we took it to South America, and we can preach the gospel anywhere, and it should not look just one way. But when we live our lives, even subconsciously, as in this, the faith has to look like this. The church has to look like this. Like me, ultimately. Then what we do is we make the faith into its own little culture. It's easy to get into right here in South Louisiana. And we exclude other people. So we need to break out of our own experience and step into the shoes of other people who are not like us. You know, I had this experience that it's written into the human person. We want Jesus. We want the gospel. We want the church to look like us because it's comfortable. It's comfortable, right? This little kid I was talking to, it's not her fault. I mean, this is natural. I don't know how it came up, but I started talking about Jesus and language or something there, and she said, oh, Jesus spoke English. No, he didn't. You know, Jesus, raise your hand if you knew Jesus didn't speak English. Oh, man, every time I ask that, I'll raise your hand, St. Philip. You know, Jesus did. Guess English didn't exist yet. You know what Jesus spoke? Hebrew. Jesus spoke Aramaic. Jesus probably spoke Greek too, maybe even Roman, because there's a lot of these different cultures out there. But some of these are associated in our minds with the Middle East. Not with Christianity. And yeah, that's what Jesus spoke. We need to burst out of our mindset. I didn't say that to the little kid. I did say, oh, you know, Jesus didn't speak English because English didn't exist. Jesus spoke Hebrew, he spoke Greek. It's not her fault. I'm not blaming her, but she needs to know as she grows up that God is bigger than me. God is bigger than my family. God is bigger than my church. God is bigger than my culture, because if we don't let God in the church be bigger than my culture, then we're going to shut out a lot of people. And it's happened. It's even happened here. Again, the caveat. I'm not blaming any individual person. This isn't conscious exclusion of people. This is subconscious exclusion, which is even more dangerous sometimes, because we feel like we got a pass, right? We get a pass. No, we need to root out all the ways that we exclude people, or we limit the gospel, we limit the scope of the gospel. Another example is, I thought it was funny. I mean, I was laughing this week. There's a statue in Our Lady of Peace office, Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know who Our Lady of Guadalupe is? It's the image that Mary appeared to Juan Diego in Mexico. And a miracle happened in his outfit, like his chasuble like this, or his poncho, his tilma is what it's called. And he gathered up all these flowers, and he brought them to the bishop, and he did that. And he threw the flowers in front of the bishop, and there was an image on the front of the tilma, and it's still there. And it's Mary, and you've seen it. It's like the sun's behind it, very colorful, standing on the moon. And she's, guess what? Looks like a Mexican. Because that's how she appeared to Juan Diego, in order to encounter him where he was at. And this statue in Our Lady of Peace is Our Lady of Guadalupe, but she's white. I'm like, what the? You
can't do that. She literally appeared like looking like a Mexican little lady. And we've taken it. I don't know what the intentions of was the artist and the sculptor or whatever, the church supply store that created this. But what I see subconsciously is that we always want to morph the faith into me, morph the face to look like me. And when we make decisions like that, out of that mindset, to make it look like me, that we can exclude people, especially when we have power. That has been the case here in South Louisiana. Now, some of you don't have to imagine this because you've lived it. But some of you, I want you to imagine. You grew up Catholic, and you walk into every Catholic church, every single one, up and down the river, and every single image of a holy person, every single image of a saint, every angel, every Jesus, every Mary, every God the Father is white. What'd you feel like? What would that do to you? How would that affect your ability to convince your grandkids to stay? I'm not blaming any individual, but I am calling us that as we move forward as a church, to think about other people, to think about their experience, and to let the church, and to let the faith, and to let the gospel be bigger than just me. Because this is heaven. I saw a vision of a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. That's heaven. It's everybody. It looks like everybody. If your earth doesn't look like heaven, what makes you think you'll want heaven when it doesn't look like your earth?